Welcome, everyone. This is Virginia Parsons, the host of the Inspirational Businesswoman Show, and today's topic is how to organize your life in a box, featuring Soteria Cleronimos. I'll say it again, Soteria Cleronimos. And here we go. Welcome, everyone. This is Virginia Parsons, your Hangout Mentor and the host of the Inspirational Businesswoman Show, where you know it is my passion and my purpose to provide you, the viewer, with a goldmine of inspirational tips, strategies, and advice to help you grow your business from inspirational businesswomen in the know. We have so many amazing women that we feature here on the show. And this week is no different. We have a wonderful guest coming from Quebec, Canada, to share with you all about how to organize your life in a box and why that's so important. So I really appreciate your coming on in and watching us live today. I want to say welcome to our live viewers, but also those of you who are catching it in replay, because I know so many of you do that or catch the show on iTunes, and we appreciate your viewing and taking the time, because I know your time is valuable. So thanks so much for being here. Let us know if you're live, where you're viewing from. We'd love to know that as well. Now, today's show is sponsored by hangout-marketing.com. And this is the place that you can receive a brand new Hangout and live stream marketing assessment. Would you like to really know how you can take your business to the next level, increase your visibility, and grow your expert status out there in the business world? Well, all you have to do if you want to take advantage of this assessment is text the word success to 775-800-4179. And this assessment will only take you a couple of minutes, and it's going to reveal to you a lot about your skill set and your knowledge base in using all these live stream platforms to brand, grow, and market your business. And you might even qualify for a free Shine strategy session with me, where we're going to sit down and look at your business and how you can take it to the next level using live stream broadcasting like we're doing right here today. Doesn't mean you have to do a show like I do, but there's so many different ways you can use live stream. I want you to catch this wave and get the word out about your expertise. So let's talk about today's guest. Now, I botched it the first time around. Let's see if I can get her name correct this time. I'm introducing to you Soteria Cleronimos, and she is the co-founder of Nizovi. She's a detective. She's an investigator. She's been a police officer for over 20 years. And oh my gosh, she's got quite a life story to share with you. And it's going to help you understand why she's so passionate about this topic of how to organize your life in a box. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to get our life in a box? I think that's going to be the first question for Soteria. But here's the subtopics I call our hot topics we're going to be talking about as well today. The first one is the consequence of disorganization. Are you disorganized? You know, I am a bit. When I look at my desk right now, you can't see it, but I've got a few stacks that I need to get through. And I have a feeling I need to get a few of these things in a box. So there's consequences to disorganization, and we're going to find out really what those can be and the impact can have not only on your life, but the life of your loved ones. Secondly, are you prepared for the inevitable? Are you? Think about it. And so Terry is going to share with us that, you know, there's two things we can't avoid, death and taxes. We're going to have to be prepared for the inevitable, and she's going to help you understand how to do that. Finally, we're going to be talking about how do you create this life box legacy that she thinks is so important and foundational for everyone. So, Soteria, come on in, unmute yourself, and say hi to our audience, won't you?
Hello, everybody, and thanks for being here.
We love having you here, and we love having people here who are viewing us live. And some of you are being a little shy right now. I know you're here viewing, but I don't know exactly who you are because you haven't typed in the comments section. So let us know who you are and where you're hanging out from. We appreciate that. We want to give you some acknowledgement because you're taking some time today. And I think it's important time to be taken in learning some of the tips and strategies that these amazing women share with our viewers. So Soteria, let's start with a little bit of your background because it's pretty fascinating. You know, we see on TV shows that there's women police officers out there and detectives and investigators, but I have never met one in real life until you. And I think it's an unusual career for a lot of women. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on. I thought it was so important for, you know, all facets of professions to be on this show and to get the word out about what they're passionate about. So let's share with everyone your background, how you got into being in law enforcement, first of all, and how that led to where you are today and what you're doing today.
So first of all, Virginia, allow me to thank you for the honor and the privilege to come on your show and to speak to people and tell them about what I've lived and the importance of getting your life together in a box. So as I've said, I've been a police officer for 22 years. Why did I go into the police? I went in also at 27 years old, so I went in a little bit later than most people. And that was because when I'd see a fight, when I'd see things happening, I would always put my, you know, I'd always try to settle the fight or take care of things so that there wouldn't be those arguments and stuff. So I said, if I'm going to do this, I might as well get paid for doing this. So that was the initial step about going into the police. And then I said to myself, okay, this is something I've always wanted to do. I did it. And then, you know, when we're talking about being an investigator, I can tell you that in police forces today, women are a good 35 to 40%. And a lot more women investigators. Why? Because we'll be a little bit more meticulous sometimes. We like investigating. We like going a little bit deeper into things. As I know that there's many more today, women surgeons and orthopedic surgeons, which before in the past was something that was unheard of. But today it's happening more and more often. So women are getting out there and we're doing what we enjoy doing and taking our place in society as we should. And so why do I do the past 7 years, as I've said, I've been working for missing persons and finding dead people's family. Well, in 2007, I took a 2-year leave of absence and I went to live on a boat with my husband and my two children who were at the time 5 and 7 years old. It was my husband's dream and I had just went through a 1-year burnout. And, you know, after having questioned my life and everything that I wanted, I said, well, you know what? It's been my husband's dream. So now that I've gone through this questioning period of my life, I said, you know what? This is a good time to just pick up and go. So that's what we did. And you have to understand that when you're leaving from this world here to go on to the world of the elements and living with Mother Nature, you have to be prepared. And so I had made my own box to leave with my sister here in Montreal, because if I'm in the middle of the sea and something happens to me, you know, a satellite phone is not something that you can use at all times. It's when you have a signal and if you're lucky. So I knew that if I ever had to take care of things, for example, pay my mortgage because I had rented out my home at the time, take my mortgage, you know, continue to pay my insurances and everything. Well, somebody had to do that for me, check my bank account. So my sister was taking care of all that while I was gone. So I understood the necessity and the importance of getting your papers together. And when I came back after the 2-year leave of absence, I got a special job and I was working. I got the offer to go work at missing persons and finding dead people's family. And you have to understand that once you've lived an experience of living on the sea and dealing with the elements, you come back to this life and you're not the same person because you don't see life the same way. And so it fit more with the philosophy of who I became. And I told myself, well, you know what? I want to be in the police and do a job where it's more, I'm helping people and being more, it's more of a, what can I say? What's the word that I'm looking for? A more human job, a job that doesn't focus at all on arresting people and, you know, putting them in jail, but more, how can I help them for the things that really matter? Because death and missing persons, I mean, that's impact. That has the deep impact. And so to do a job like this, you need to be very compassionate and love the people. So it's been a great journey for me to do this job. And thanks to seeing what I've seen in the past 7 years, I've seen where there is a lack in society. I've seen where families are destroyed because they don't know where to turn and what to turn to and where to look and what am I even looking for. So that's why the product has come about. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because of what I've seen that's been missing.
Wow. I'm just going to start there. I mean, my God, first of all, you took two young children on a boat, on a sailboat, right? For 2 years?
A five-year-old and a seven-year-old, my two boys. Yep, we took them out of school. Oh. We said, there's nothing we can give them except a legacy of saying, you know what, we spent 2 years with you and we've given you everything we can and we showed you that. But don't forget, we weren't sailors, we're not mechanical, we're not electrical. So we went out there pretty much a little bit crazy, you would say. But to show them that if we can do this, you know, you can do anything in this world. So just get out there and do the things you've always wanted to do.
That's just phenomenal. And I know that you wrote a book about this as well. Was there any time when you were out there that things got a little hairy, a little challenging?
Virginia, if you live on a boat and you travel, everything will happen to you. The only thing we didn't experience was a gun in my face. But then again, on the job, I deal with the gun. So God probably said, let's slack off on her a little bit and let's give her other experiences that she'll have to deal with, minus the gun. So everything that you want, whether it be storms, whether it be your boat smashing, whether it be, you know, not far from hurricane, everything that you want, we experienced. Because if you move on a boat, you will experience everything. If you stay in one place, nothing will happen to you.
Okay, we need to pause with that comment. If you stay in one place, nothing will happen to you. Now we're getting relevant to our viewers and business and, you know, growing your business and being an entrepreneur, which is very challenging. You know, it's a lot easier to go out and get one of those day jobs. But really, as an entrepreneur, as someone who has reinvented myself, I don't know how many times I've reinvented myself. You can't stay in one place and grow. There's just no way. You have to always be stretching yourself, challenging your limits, going past your comfort zone if you're going to make a bigger impact in the world. And I think especially that's what we women want to do. I think men do too. But, you know, women are nurturers, but we also want to support, uplift, and help others transform their lives. And so, yes, we can't stay in one place. So that's the first big, you know, I'd say aha that we can take from the show, and you can all write down in your notes. But why don't you tell them the name of your book before we get into the rest of the interview, because I imagine that that book is fascinating.
Well, the book is called Freedom, Living Your True Life. And actually, it's not about my boat experience. It's about my burnout and everything that prepared me to go live on a boat. Because you have to understand, when you leave this life, everything that we live on, you cannot leave this world right here and just go directly on a boat. There has to be an evolution of changing and being calm, because you understand that out there you're on survival mode. So if you're already stressed and if you're already, you know, living in the material world and going directly on a boat, that's why people get divorced. That's why families get torn apart. You have to have done quite a bit of work on yourself to go out there before you go out there. And once you're there, don't forget you're living in a 1.5 with 4 people. And everything that happens, it's a different life on a boat where the children are not apart. Even though they were 5 and 7, we had to work as a team. And so you go out there with this one team together, and everything we live, we will live together. And so it's a completely different way of life than what we're used to and everything that we know. So it's an adaptation. But, you know, we're, as human beings, we are incredible and we are adaptable. And there's nothing that we cannot do if we set our minds to do. Yes, of course, there will be sacrifices and there will be suffering along the way. But you know what? Eventually, we're here to expand and grow beyond our means and become who we were supposed to be, who we came here to be in this life.
I love it. And I love that you really, so this, you actually started the book after your burnout when you were getting prepared then for your sailing venture. fabulous. I just want to let you know that we're having a Canadian show today, at least for our live viewers. We've got Pat from Montreal and we've got Jane from Vancouver who have at least checked in with us. I know there's more on, but those are the ones that have typed in and let us know where they're hanging out from. So thanks for joining us today, gal.
Hello, fellow Canadians.
Okay, so let's get into the first topic. I know you've already alluded to it, and that's the consequences of disorganization. So let's dig deeper. What does it really mean to not have your life organized?
Oh my God, it's tragic. Honestly, it's very tragic. And people don't know where to look, what to look for, and where to start. You know, we think we're organized, but many times, what is it that we really need? Has anybody ever sat down and told us, what are your most important papers? What do you actually need? What will help you in times of distress or in times of chaos or if a death occurs or something like that? Nobody has ever told us the most important papers and, you know, where to keep them. Who do we talk to about that? Oh, we can't talk about death to people because, you know, it's a taboo subject. But as I tell people, is there anything else which is going to happen to every single one of us? So get your paperwork in order. Tell your family where the paper is. We sometimes in our own, you know, we have our things in 3-4 different drawers. But even when we try to find our papers, sometimes we can't find them. So have a third party try to look for your papers. I know when I go visit homes of people that have passed away and I try to find any information, a lot of people are hoarders. Where do I start? Where am I going to find all those papers? They tell me he has a will. Where's the will? You know, he has insurance. Well, I don't know if people know, but there's no central bank of information for insurance. So if you don't call every single company, you're not going to get that information. Also, you know, he has a will. Okay, what kind of a will? Was it a notarized will, you know, done in front of a notary or a lawyer? Or was it a will that was done in front of two witnesses? And do people know the difference? Do people understand the costs associated with finding this information and looking for this information? Like I said, it's subjects, it's conversations we don't have. But Virginia, it is the most, these are the most important conversations we can have, because when your family has to be exposed to the situation, normally at that point they're torn apart. They, you know, they want to deal with maybe mourning, but they can't because they have to find the paper. And when you're unorganized, it takes years to settle estates, not days or months, but years. When you're organized, it can take a year. When you're not organized, it takes years. I was speaking to somebody recently when I was in South Carolina. He told me his grandfather, it took them 7 years for a probate. 7 years. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars spent in probate to try to get that information. So, my gosh, can we avoid all that trouble and that heartache and that fighting amongst people because nobody knows where to look and whose fault is it? And oh my gosh, Virginia, it can be horrible. It can be really horrible, and it tears people apart.
So what you're saying is the cost is manyfold. I mean, obviously there's a financial cost, because if they can't find this stuff, it's going to cost to try and get it pulled together, because someone's got to go out and do the investigation on it, don't they?
And so, normally it's a notary or a lawyer. And if you're paying $100 an hour or $200 an hour, whatever you're paying, make sure you got a bank account that's going to be able to pay that amount of money.
That's right. And so you've got that cost, which you're very clear on that it can cost tens of thousands of dollars just to get the paperwork together to settle the estate. Then you're talking about the emotional cost, because if you, as the individual who is not gotten your life into a box, and I have to say most of my life's in a box, but after looking at your stuff, I need more stuff in that box. But it's your responsibility, and but when you don't do it, the emotional cost to your family and your loved ones can be much greater. As you say, everyone needs to have that opportunity to go through a period of mourning, and they don't need to have to pull their hair out trying to figure out where this is located and where that is located. So the costs go way beyond the financial cost.
So I'm sure Virginia people don't even have any idea the costs on all levels, whether it's, you know, mental, whether it's physical, whether it's psychological, it's financial, it's everything. Honestly, it's everything.
I get it. So instead, we're going to talk about being prepared for the inevitable, because we all do. We all will pass. I know many of you are very young and it's the last thing on your mind, but it does happen even to young people. Unfortunately, there are tragic accidents. There are tragedies you can't foresee. And so by ignoring it, you're ignoring something that is inevitable. If you just got it taken care of, and then you can easily add to it as things change. Let's talk about that, whether or not people are prepared for the inevitable.
You know, it's fantastic that you're saying that, because the young people, the advantage for them is once you start when you're young, you know, you'll always just update. So it's no work for you. It's work for us that are 50 years old and over that, you know, we've never done it. And all of a sudden you're saying, oh my God, which papers are necessary? Which ones do I really need? What's really important? So, you know, paper is very stressful. So we accumulate it because we're not sure, will we need it in the future? Will we not need it? So let's keep boxes of paper. But honestly, you don't need all that paper. If you would just keep your last statements, that would be good enough. But you need to know which ones are really important, which ones are really necessary. And so by doing that, you understand also that that is a lot of clutter. And once you remove that clutter, it's freedom. Knowing what you need and then just updating the information, oh my gosh, that's thousands of pounds of weight off your shoulders, because you do know that everything we own, we do carry on us, right? So by eliminating that, you release tons of pressure and stress on yourself and on other people too, of what am I going to look for, and which is the latest copy, which is the last one. Oh my God, is this insurance still valid? Which people don't even know. So putting up the most updated version is the best gift you can give to yourself.
All right, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. I don't think it's that people don't want to be organized. I think it's that they don't even know where to start, or how do they fit this into their life that is already in overwhelm. So, and no, sure, it's just one of those things that keeps getting put off and put off. Do you have any strategies or tips to help people just get started so they can start to unload a little bit of the burden?
You know what? That's why we came up with the Life in the Box, because we've done all the work for you. We tell you exactly what it is that you need, what you need to keep in your box. And then we have the forms that give your family all the information. What is the most important information? And the first thing I'll tell people, the two most important things, do you have a will? Is your will put that in front of a notary or a lawyer? It's the most important information you need. And here in Quebec, we have something called the mandate of protection, the mandate of incapacity. So that if somebody gets into a coma, for example, the bank accounts normally will freeze. But if you have the mandate of incapacity, then your family member will be able, or whoever you put inside, will be able to take care of your bank accounts while you're in a coma or in a state where you cannot function. So I would say those are the two most important things. But do you know, Virginia, most people don't even have that. And so I know police officers who have been in a coma and their bank accounts were frozen and their wife couldn't pay the mortgage. So you are obliged to borrow money to be able to pay your mortgage the time that the person's in a coma. But what do you do if it's happening for a year? What do people do at that point, Virginia?
Okay, so I know there's probably some different terms for U.S., and I'm certainly not even close to an expert in this, but I know that you do want to have forms also for if you are incapacitated, that someone can make decisions for you, and that may not necessarily be financial decisions. So there might be power of attorneys you can also provide. As I say, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know exactly, but what you're saying is that you want to start with making sure at least that the will has been notarized or in front of a lawyer. And there's, of course, many other ways you can go beyond just a will, but that's just kind of the basic. And then the other one you said is the mandate of incapacity, at least in Canada. And since we have some Canadian viewers here, I imagine that they're aware of that. So those are the first things that you would say you start with to put into your box. But what's the whole legacy thing? I mean, you know, I love the Lifebox legacy idea that you've created. And so, you know, what is what is everything else? How many can we go over today without going over time?
And okay, super.
So we have a gift as well, but just give them a little bit more idea of what they need to start gathering.
Okay, so we have come up with the box, right? And with the box, we separate your life in 8 categories. So we tell you the most important information, for example, is personal information. Who's your family? What's your soul? You know, us, it's a social insurance number. You, it's a social security number. Do you know that if somebody passes away, if you don't have that number, you cannot even get the money that the government gives you to be able to use for a burial of somebody? And so, you know, just those. So do you have brothers and sisters? What are the dates of birth? What are the dates of birth of your parents? When did they pass away? Where are they? Do you have, you know, are you immigration papers? Maybe you're a citizen of another country. So this is all the information that you need to have, electronic information today. We're living in an era of electronics. Does anybody know your username to get into your computer? We put everything in there, our photos, everything. But what will your family do if they don't know? That information cannot be opened up by any technician. Well, they say, okay, well, we'll find you the password and we'll give you all the information. Then we continue all your legal information. You have accountants? Do you have, like we said before, do you have a will? Do you have a mandate of incapacity? Do you have a death? Do you have, maybe your spouse passed away? Do you have the death certificate? Do you have, if you've been divorced, those papers are very important. Your family needs them for future reference. Also insurance. You do know that if you don't have any, the policy number of an insurance, well, then you can't claim the insurance. And I would say, let's go one step further with the insurance. I would tell people that have an insurance that's been, you know, they've had it for maybe 10 or 20 years to call up that insurance company, because, you know, a lot of times insurance companies, they change 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times. But do you know that somewhere along the way, you can lose that insurance because you didn't know that it changed that to that and this to this. So you kind of have to fill in the blanks and you know, point the dots together so that you can get to the insurance company that it's at today, so your family can claim a stake on that insurance. Also, if we continue, you have homes, you have a car. Where is all that information? Does the home belong to you? Do you maybe own land somewhere else? What about your finances and your investments? What about that information? Do you know when you go see a notary and you ask them, well, you know what? I'd like to know the finances of my brother or my sister to see if I want to claim their estate when they pass away. A notary or a lawyer is going to charge you a minimum of $2,000 to give you that information. So it's costs that you never even thought about. But the worst thing about that is most people will say, I'm not going to invest in this. So, you know, do you know what happens at that time? Here in Quebec alone, there's $300 million in unclaimed estates, which means land, money, and everything else, which means everywhere else in every other state and every other country, the government too claims the estate. The insurance company is obliged to pay out the money. So if you didn't know about it, the government will claim that money. So, but this is stuff people are not aware of. So if you have the information.
Okay, we should pause here for a second. Did you say $300 million is unclaimed at this point in Canada?
In Quebec? No, just in Quebec alone.
Just in Quebec. Okay. Because I was going to say that. Okay. That makes even more sense. 300 just in Quebec alone.
Just in Quebec.
So we have no idea what that means for the United States, but it's got to be millions and millions, maybe billions.
Now you better believe it. Let's be in the billions if we're talking about all the states together.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is, it's not necessarily a fun topic, you guys, but let's talk about it from the standpoint of the weight that it will take off of your shoulders if you organize this stuff, put it in a box. As she said, it's a life box legacy that you can put together. And then, of course, it's always a good idea to tell somebody or a few people where it's located. Where it's located.
That's the most important. You see, as I said, here we tell you, for example, this one, in your personal information and in your electronic information, we give you a checklist. We tell you what are the most important papers that you need to put inside. So once you put that in there, and it's good for a couple, so you put that in there, your family will know everything. And this box, you know, people will say somebody will rob the box. I'm 22 years in the police. Nobody will rob your paper box. The more important information, which is the forms that we fill out, Yes, this is your main information. This, absolutely, you do not leave this lying around. You put this in a box. Some people have safe boxes at home. I do not recommend you put it in a bank safety deposit box, because when you're settling an estate, the bank accounts freeze, and so you won't have access to that until the estate has been taken care of. So that can be a year later. So I would say you either give this with your notary or your lawyer, or you put it in a safe box. You know, so this is the information, the most important information that we say. And once you fill this out, your family will have no questions to ask about, oh, does she have insurance? Does she have, okay, what are her finances? What are her bank accounts? What are her investments? They're going to know everything that you have. So that, when you go and see a lawyer with that, can you imagine the thousands of dollars that you save, because they don't have to do the work for you? And you do know, Virginia, that every paper that's missing in your box, oh, they will charge you for every single one. So with one paper that you would pay to them, it would cost you less to buy the box.
Yes, it would cost you less to buy the box and put the stuff in yourself and then put it in your lawyer's hands or in safekeeping with someone in your family, either one.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, how much time on average, I know it's going to vary because some people are more organized and other people say are paper hoarders, but how much time do you think someone should realistically set aside to gather all this information?
Okay, so I've done the work myself because I wanted to calculate it and see exactly. So the thing is, whether you're organized or unorganized, it doesn't matter because we've done the work for you, okay? So that's one big stress off your head. And so I say, if you go through your paperwork and you take out all the papers that we tell you, and then you fill out the forms. So filling out the forms alone takes about an hour and a half, all depending on what you owe. So obviously, if you have a lot of investments, it's going to be a little bit more time. Most of us have one house, one car. Well, that page, you know, is 5 minutes. If you have, if you have your personal information, that's not things that change. So pretty much, you know, your names of your brothers, your sisters, your parents, that pretty much stays the same. You have children, that stays the same. Electronic information is something that could change, and finances also. So that's something that, you know, you need to keep up to date every once in a while. But I tell you, once you've done the work, which if you're starting at zero, I'd say invest an hour a week. An hour a week to clean out the papers and find the ones that we're telling you. And once you have it all down, you know, do one paper every week. It's going to take you 10 to 15 minutes, and it won't seem like something heavy. Or because when you go see a notary and a lawyer and you ask them to give you a financial paper so that you can fill it out, it's 60 pages long and it's black and white and it's scary. When you look at that, you say, oh my God, I'm not filling that out. But our kit is very easy. As you can see, we fill in the blanks just so you can do a little.
Yeah, hold it up there real steady for a minute, and then they'll have a chance to take a look at it. So you can talk behind it.
Yeah, so here we have pretty much somebody who has their investment information. So we tell you what type of investment do you have, click it off, who's the resource person. If you have a banking institution, we'll just put up your account number, their address, city, and phone number. And the same works with all of it. So at least your family will know who's the resource person, because sometimes things change, right? But the resource person who's been taking care of your investments, that's not going to change. And if it's referred to somebody else, well, they're going to have kept all that information.
Great. That's good. Yeah.
So it's simple. It's fill in the blanks. As I said, with the what I showed you before, the box. You lift it up, we tell you exactly what you need to put in there. And you know, yes, I'm from Canada, you're from the US, things are pretty much similar. You might call it a social security number, we call it a social insurance number. But in the end, it comes up to the same thing. And maybe our investments might be called something else, it doesn't matter. You can just cross it out and put up, you know, your, I think it's a 401 or something like that, TK 401, what are your retirement plans called?
Yeah, 401k is the one.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. So you would just put that in. But for the most part, if you have everything in a place where your family, if something happens to you, they can take care of it. That's the most important thing. And I tell people, it's not just for your husband or wife or children. For example, tragedies do happen sometimes. What if your brother and sister would have to take care of your estate? They don't know anything about you because we never discuss that with family. But if you don't discuss it with them, if you don't at least tell them, I have my box, Do you know that the government will come and seize all of your assets instead of your own family getting it? So I see this is not just for your immediate, but, you know, for your brothers and sisters and any other people, your loved ones, your cousins, anybody else that you're close to, before it goes to the government, I believe it should pass through the hands of your family first.
I am sure everyone on the show, both live and in replay, would agree with you. And I just want to add a quick welcome to Jane. She's here, and she I'd already said hi to her before, but she said, great idea. We don't have children, so my sister would have to do it all. I think she's referring to after the fact. Right. And then we've got Susan here from Chicago. Welcome, Susan. And as I said, we have Julianne. I don't know if I'd said hi to her. She's from Southern California. So we got a few people in here from the States now. So you guys that are watching live, go ahead and put any questions that you might have for Soteria in the comment section. We would love to provide those to her right now. And Soteria, why don't you tell them about how they can get a free checklist from you by going to your website, and you talk about it, and I will put the address up for them.
So ladies and gentlemen, if there are any, go to www.nyzovie.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see that it might be in French because here in Quebec, first language is French. So click on top. You can switch it to English if you want to read all about us and, you know, what we do and why we've started, what's our mission. And click to the bottom of the page. At the bottom of the page, you will see that you have a put in your email for a free checklist, and it would be my pleasure and honor to send you that. So at least as a starting place to know which personal information are the most important. What information does your family need at the get-go if something happens to you? What are the papers that are most important for them to use?
Okay, got that up there for them. Yeah, just make sure that you go there, and as she said, you have to scroll down to find that, but it's there for you, and we definitely want you to be able to take advantage of it. Let me get my screen back up here. There we are. Because I think it's a good starting place. And then if they want to go into the full legacy box, life legacy box, just a little bit of information on that for everyone.
Okay, so you can scroll where it says order, go onto the page, and make sure you click in English. And on the left-hand side, you're going to see it has it also in different currency. So presently, it's on Canadian, so make sure you switch it to American. And you guys are lucky because it's $1.30 to our dollar, so your dollar's worth more than ours. So it's even more worth it for you guys to buy our product than it is for us Canadians.
Okay, it's a sale. We're announcing a sale. Yeah, so
as I said earlier, sorry, Virginia, you know, for the price of one box, it's not even one visit with a notary or with a lawyer who would help you get all your paperwork together. And, you know, it's not even about the money. It's about, you know, loving your family enough to say, hey, this, I want to make this easy for them. And you know what, instead of having the government take it, and why shouldn't it go to my family? I mean, if we worked, I've heard people tell me, well, you know what, I really don't care. When I pass away, let my family, you know, let them deal with it then. And I look at them and I say, well, then why don't you just give it to the government right now? You know, stop working and just give it to them. Don't even spend it. And they look at me like, wow. But, you know, if that's what you're going to tell me, that's what I'm going to answer you. Because you didn't work your whole life to let the government take what you worked hard for.
Well, and you give enough to the government because you work as it is. So you don't need to give anything extra to them. And you certainly, your family is going to be going through enough stress and when you do pass. And that's just one less thing for you to worry about. If you are, you know, if you suddenly fall ill or have an accident and you have not taken care of this basic organization of putting your important papers into a box, you're going to add to your stress level and healing. Because you're worrying about, well, do I have everything in place? What if something happens to me? You're adding stress to your life. So get this taken care of now so you don't worry about it when you do have something stressful and challenging to deal with.
You know,
I'm
Virginia,
just helping people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have to say something, that here in Quebec, we're a little bit more blessed than other places because we have the civil status here. They work with the police to help us, at least if you're born in Quebec, I'll be able to find your mother, your father, your brothers, your cousins. I'll be able to find everybody. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that in any other province or in the States. If you don't know the exact place where somebody's born, you don't have access to that information. So do you know how many people pass away, Virginia, and their families don't even know that they passed away? Because not everybody's close, you understand. There's people that don't see their brothers and sisters for 30, 40, 50 years. And then you'll never even find out that they passed away because they couldn't find you because they didn't know which state they were born in. They didn't know which city they were born in. And I can tell you that I've seen, one story that strikes me the most is I had a woman pass away. She was 85 years old, and she had a will done in front of a lawyer and a notary. And she had $100,000 and, enough money if she passed away that she could get a nice burial and do everything she wanted. But because everybody in her will had predeceased her, her will was null and void, which means when she passed away, they wanted to put her in the ground with all the unclaimed bodies. So even though she had a place where, with her family, the government was not going to do that for her. So her social worker ended up paying to cremate her. And then she was obliged to ask for a refund from the estate to get her paid back. But if she did not have the social worker, they would have put her in the ground as an unclaimed body. That's the way it works, Virginia. That is the reality of it all.
That's bizarre. I've never heard such a thing. So even though she had a will and it was done properly, it's null and void because she has no living relatives, at least that they could find.
That's right.
Now, had she gone beyond the living relatives of just her immediate family to maybe cousins or second
cousins? I couldn't find anybody. Because I couldn't find anybody, that means the government would claim a stake. So he took her $100,000. But the worst thing about it was that he was going to take her $100,000 and then put her with the unclaimed bodies as an extra body that, had nowhere to go, as if nobody ever claimed her. That's the worst part of it all. I, at that point, honestly, I wanted to call the media, but thankfully her social worker took care of her. Otherwise, I was pulling my hair. I said, this is unacceptable. Can you imagine? You save $100,000. You ask for some last wishes, but because everybody predeceases you, it goes to the government, and the government doesn't care. He's not going to respect any of your wishes. You're going to go in a dumping ground like everybody else, and we're not going to even, we're just going to put a little plaque, and if nobody claims your body in the next 10 years, well, too bad. You'll be covered by other bodies.
Oh, this is sad. I guess we have to have a reality check here. Okay, if that isn't enough, go get your life legacy box created. I don't know what it is. Oh, this has been really, really informative, Soteria. I really appreciate your coming on the show. We don't have any other questions here other than Jane asked, where can we buy? And we gave the website address for that. So I'm just going to, finalize everything here by saying thank you to our viewers, both live and those in replay. I hope you found this information valuable, even if it might have been a little uncomfortable. But we've got people like Soteria out there that are doing this investigative work day in and day out because of missing persons or trying to find family members of the deceased. So you could make it easier for your loved ones and also for yourself and the stress in your own life if you get this taken care of. I know it's given me a nudge to take a look at what I do have gathered and maybe get it all in one place, because I agree with you that it's very hard for anyone to find it if they don't know where it is, because if you can't find it, then how can you expect someone else to find it?
And don't forget, sometimes you can find it, but you're going to have to pay fees to lawyers and notaries. Are you willing to pay that money to find the information? Because in the end, it comes out to the dollar.
Absolutely. Well, just very, very valuable information. Thank you so much for your expertise and sharing your passion. And obviously, I think you've got a great product that looks like it's going to be a benefit for hopefully hundreds of thousands of people. So thank you so much for being here today. Any last word before we
thank you. Thank you, everybody. And you know what? If it just plants a seed of consciousness within you that you say, you know what, I'm going to take one step today, because sometimes it's too much for everybody. But if you just take that one little step, just look at the list, get your list and look at it and say, wow. And then, it takes you to the next step. Some people need to digest this slowly, but please do this for yourself. You do not understand the gift that it is to you and your family. And you will probably never realize the importance of it. But when I hear people that are, take them 6-7 years to get to take care of an estate and to deal with it, my God, can you imagine if you already had that and you could do it within a year and it's not stressful, but then you can actually live mourn the way you need to mourn without having to deal with all the other stressors. So God bless you all, and you know, best of luck in everything. And you know, any questions, please feel free to write to me on EZOV. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Soterio. We really appreciate it. And thank you for those of you who are here with us live today. We appreciate you taking the time. Everyone, have a fabulous, productive week, and we'll see you next week on the Inspirational Businesswoman Show. Bye-bye now.